Welcome, everyone. Welcome to this week's edition, playoff edition. I've been waiting since September. Are we going to have a playoff edition? The answer is yes. Playoff edition of Inside Harvard Football. Inside Harvard Football presented by The Coop, a Harvard tradition since 1882. And they're very pleased to have with us, as always, head coach Andy Orrick to get Andy's take on last weekend and, most importantly, live to fight another day and a weekend ahead with Harvard in uncharted waters with a at-large bid to the NCAA, the FCS football NCAA tournament. Coach, I'd like to say as we welcome you in, I've been talking to a happy coach, a 1-0 coach for 9 weeks. That's not the case this week, but certainly I know you're excited about the playoffs. But as we look back on Saturday in New Haven, and certainly not fondly for everybody in Crimson Nation, a game that, literally went in the wrong direction from the first play from scrimmage of the game. It's not often you can say that, but it was really a tone-setting play right on that first play, and 18 seconds into the game, you find yourselves on the road and down 7-0.
Yeah, that was that play was kind of indicative of how the rest of the day would go, because it was one of those things where, you know, for a lot of the season, we've been the one who was creating takeaways and then turning into points and first offensive play. You know, that guy just wanted the ball more than us and ripped it out. And then their very first play of offense, they score a touchdown. So, and then there's other things throughout the game that were very similar where, you know, we've been doing certain things at a high level and they did it. So all the credit really goes to Yale. Like, they out executed us and they just wanted it more. And because of that, they took control of the game pretty easily.
And easily and early, as it turned out. And of course, as we talked about last week, if there was a team that you didn't want to fall behind because of the nature of this Bulldog beast, it is this Yale team with their obviously their propensity, their fondness for running the ball with an elite running back. And here you were in a come-from-behind mode right from literally from the get-go. Things kind of snowballed.
Yeah, they were, you know, it wasn't like they were running the ball and getting 10 yards a pop. It was literally 3 or 4 yards in a cloud of dust. When they were running the ball and churning out first downs, which was eating up clock. And then they did a really good job on the 50-50 balls. So when they did need the flyover yards, you know, their receivers were adjusting to the ball in the air and making the plays, and we weren't. Early in the season, we were making those plays. We didn't on Saturday, and, you know, that led to a lot of the scoring drives, because they would get the 40-yard pass that would move the ball down the field at a faster pace than what they were doing, running the ball, and next thing you know, they're in the end zone. So, again, credit to them. They did a really good job with that.
And there was really, when you mentioned about adjustments, a couple of balls that were clearly underthrown, I don't think they were intentionally underthrown, that receivers made good adjustments. I mean, that in itself was a little bit, I guess, quirky, the fact that those became big plays that factored in.
Yeah, they were, it wasn't necessarily that they were thrown greatly. It was just the word I always learned from my previous boss was poise. When the ball's in the air, yeah, as a DB, you have to have poise. We talked to Coach Williams. He talks about how your heart rate needs to slow down. And they did a really good job of adjusting that ball in the air, and we did not. So it led to, I think there was probably 5 of them in the game that were, yeah, big yardage.
And as it turned out, the offense really did not get in gear. You were down 17 when finally did put together a drive. I guess when you look for bright spots, in particular, Ivy League Rookie of the Week on the offensive side was Ryan Tattersall. And he certainly was a bright spot. He had a pretty good day working with Jaden Craig. They definitely seem to be on the same page with some big plays.
Yeah, there's a lot of trust there with between Jaden and Ryan. And, you know, it's credit to the work Ryan's put in. He's continuing to get better and better every week. And, you know, that was only a matter of time that he was going to have a game truly like that breakout game. Because he's a big target. He runs well. He catches everything. You know, he was a high school quarterback. So the route running and all that stuff, that was a little new to him. But, you know, we could tell right away, or I should say early on in training camp that he was going to be able to help us, and that's why we just, you know, invested reps into him right away from the get-go, and from game one on.
And two plays that really seem to be defining in terms of you climbing back. And, I mean, with a prolific offense that you have and as many weapons, there has to be a level of confidence on the sideline that we can overcome a lead. And case in point, what you had done the week before against Penn. But the play that seemed to be the first one that really defined it when you got the game to 17-7 was the big break there to Brown on that touchdown pass. I mean, they came back, I mean, a minute and a half and change later, and they're in the end zone again.
Yeah, and that's, you know, obviously frustrating. It was early enough in the game that I don't think it necessarily, you know, the guys didn't flinch or anything like that. But, you know, it just makes it a lot harder when, you know, they're responding so quickly, and you're back to where you were, for sure. But, you know, I give credit to the guys. You know, they were able to put together a scoring drive there. And kind of put us in a position before halftime there to kind of close the gap, and ultimately it didn't work out. And you know, next thing you know, the game kind of was completely in control there about halfway through the third quarter.
The fact that Yale was able to bookend on the final play, the fourth and one play at the end of the first half, and then they put together an impressive drive to begin the second half. You mentioned last week on the show, sometimes things come back to haunt or prove to be prophetic when you don't want to be. But you were talking about the depth at running back for your Harvard team this season and said, well, you know, we got three guys and four guys that we think could start for anywhere in the Ivy League. And you said, except, and it is a big exception. I mean, Pitzenberger is clearly a horse, and I'm glad you don't have to play him again this Saturday.
Yeah, he's a great player. He's a great player. He, you know, he got the Bushnell Cup today. You know, disappointing. Mm-hmm. I thought Jaden, you know, yep, should have gotten it, but you know, he had a great season. And you know, when the lights were brightest, he definitely backed it up with his play. So you know, credit to him. And yeah, I'm glad he's not going to be playing for them next year, unless they come up with some, you know, medical redshirt that they remembered in a week.
Hopefully that's not the case. And to replace him, those are literally big cleats. If they got a guy on the level of him next year, God bless, because he was an absolute force from last year to this year, and it created a lot of problems. Overall, you mentioned you got to be proud of the fact that this team kept swinging, and there was no question, there was no doubt about that. Your thoughts as you come away, you've had a chance to reflect a little bit. I mean, obviously not pleasantly, but always after when something like that does happen, which is rather stunning and not in a very pleasant way, it's always good for me, I think, and enlightening for everybody that follows us to just get the take of how it looked the second time, or as you broke things down, how did it look the second time in terms of what you might not have seen or was maybe a little bit of a different perception for you?
Yeah, you know, first off, I would say, you know, what they did at the end of the first half and the start second half, like that was what we have been doing to people for weeks. You know, the score right before halftime, get the ball to start the second half, and go down and score. But they did it methodically, where they ate up half of the third quarter. So, you know, the score was 24-14. It was 3rd and 7. They called us for pass interference. I'm not sure how you can get pass interference if somebody just runs you over, but that got them the first down, and it would have been great for them to kick a field goal. There have been 1:15 left in the first half. We get the ball in number one's hands to see what we can do before halftime. But it is what it is. We didn't, and they did the credit to them. They got that drive in the end zone, and then they ate up that clock and got another one, and you look up there, and it's like I've been saying a number of weeks, like, somebody went to go grab a hot dog, and they got stuck in the line. They came back, and it's like, what the heck happened in this game? You know, went in the middle eight. So, you know, credit to them. And that, you know, I think they played more physical than us up front. And, you know, that's something that we have to address. And that's, you know, there's two ways that happens. It's either the player changes how they're playing, or we change the player who's playing. And even at this point in the season, you know, I owe it to the entire team to make sure that we're putting ourselves in the best position to win games. So the positive is everybody came out here ready to work at practice today, and everybody came in there ready to learn from the tape on Sunday. So I know we'll be able to, you know, bounce back from it, and, you know, we watched the tape, we learned from it, and we moved on. And the beautiful thing is, because we have another game, we're able to do that quickly, and there's a lot of excitement because we are getting to go to the playoffs, and that's just a different feel where now these guys, like, yeah, they're thinking about Villanova now. They're not thinking about Yale, because they've got the corrections from that game. But the guys definitely, they fought, they did everything they could. We just didn't execute well enough, and they executed better than us. And when those big plays happened, they were able to make them, and we didn't. So, you know, again, credit to Yale, because they out executed us in the big moments, and because of that, they were able to kind of take control of that game.
And as far as this week, and of course the things got tweaked a little bit for time, literally and figuratively, time eternal. Harvard is end of the season with Yale on Saturday. Monday, convene at the Harvard Club, pass the torch for the next captain. A little bit different this year. Your thoughts on that Sunday night? I thought Sunday night seemed to move very well in a different setting, a different environment at Fenway Park. But the overall the presentation and the overall event, I thought I think seemed to go well. Your take on that, Coach?
Yeah, it was great. You know, the Harvard Varsity Club and the Friends of Harvard Football do such a good job with that event. I love to hear the alumni up there just talking about, you know, some of their experiences, and you can just tell how passionate they are about this program and how much they know about these players. It was a great event. It was a little different for other than the reason that you just mentioned. It was a little bit different because we do have another game. So even with some of the, you know, the speeches that were given, you know, like there was like awareness of this not being done, you know, which I, to be honest, I think moved the night along a little faster, to be honest with you. But yeah, I mean, it just reminded me, and that's why when I got up there, I mentioned it, like, it just reminded me, like, I'm just so happy I get to coach these guys for at least one more week. Hopefully longer than that, because they are such great young men. I'm excited that I get to, you know, go out there with them and practice a couple more times this week, and hopefully we take care of business and continue from there. So, but it was a great night. It was a lot of fun.
And to trying to make this week as normal as possible in terms of your preparation, you got the holiday on Thursday, and people going in different directions for the holiday. A lot of times you get in these situations, some of the local guys will take in some of their teammates, or is there going to be a big function for the team in one spot?
Yeah, we have a combination of that. So I had the other local guys just kind of let me know who was going home with them. So I had a head count, and then all the rest of us will go over to the Doubletree and have a Thanksgiving Day meal together. So it's about half and half, which is kind of how I was kind of hoping it to end up. I didn't want anybody eating the dining hall on Thanksgiving. That didn't sit well with me. So. So instead they get to be bothered by my, or I shouldn't say bothered, they get to be around my wonderful kids, and you know, we'll have the game on, and we can watch that and hang out and enjoy each other's company. But the nice thing is with, you know, I was talking to Ty Bartram, and he was telling me how normally Tuesday he was gone. He'd have a flight home on Tuesday morning. He's like, it's a little strange around here. He's like, I haven't been around here at this point any year, and it is kind of a ghost town around here. You know, a lot of students have already gotten out here. Today's the last day of classes, Tuesday, even though a lot of them got canceled, or, you know, professors said it's no class today. So I'm taking advantage of the rest of the week and getting them some more sleep than they have been getting previously, which I'm hoping will help us out in recovery and being – you know, feeling good on Saturday.
No question. Man, you just kind of roll with that and you know, work the holiday into the schedule, and great opportunity for team bonding, camaraderie all the way around. So that sounds like it should be festive nonetheless. It should be a great time for all involved. And it is the award season. You had the awards with more football to play, but great to see the guys that were honored the other night with the best lineman, Alex DeGreek, is the top lineman. The Restick Award for Leadership Scholarship Integrity to Aiden Kilstrom, the Robert F. Kennedy to Kate Kaufman for Desire Determination, and the Lamar Award to the aforementioned, as you said, your captain, Ty Bartram, for his dedication to the program, which I think is pretty much unquestioned in terms of how well he led this team. And also was the introduction of a new award that I believe originated last year with the Badger Award in honor of Ben Abercrombie. And you seem to be particularly excited about the opportunity to present that to Ryan Osborne, who, from my knowledge, I'm gaining more knowledge about Ryan Osborne, not just describing what he's doing on the field, seems to be a pretty special young man.
Yeah, he is a special young man. He's, you know, pre-med. He's got his everything planned out, does unbelievable in school, leads our team Bible study. He's engaged. He's a superstar. He is an absolute superstar. The other one I'll mention, because a lot of those guys you mentioned, like, they're known commodities. You know, Caden Kaufman, I was just so happy for him. He's been somebody who he's played in games. He hasn't necessarily had a ton of production. And a lot of times last year he was in there, we were putting him in there, and he was just doing all the dirty work and blocking and just an unbelievable worker and, like, the guy that you always want to point to if you have a young player. Like, hey, you want to know how we do things here? Watch Koff. So I was just happy for him that, you know, he got acknowledged, because he is he's what I want this team to be like. Just how hard he works and how selfless he is. And, you know, he just wants his team to be successful, and he'll do whatever is asked for him. If it's try to go block a defensive end, cut off a defensive end in the backside after he motions in and out, he's going to do it for the team.
Make that sacrifice. And the All Ivy selections, and not surprisingly, a big number there, the first and second teams, and then to the honorable mention. But 15 on it, really a testament to what you've done, how this program manages, Coach, the seamless transition of this program with you taking command of it a year ago. And really, it's the proverbial, there's a lot of reloading and not much rebuilding going on.
Yeah. And, we had a great off season, and that's really where it started. You know, the work these guys put in the off season gave us the best chance to have the success that we've had this year. So individual awards are really a product of how well a team does. But, you know, you look at this group, I'm going to pull it up right here. You got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 of those guys that are all Ivy, they're first time starters. And we're asked to put in different roles than what they were. And, you know, the work they put in this offseason really led to the success they had. You know, I fully expect next year when we're talking around the same time, there's the same thing to happen, just because, you know, as I said at the banquet, like this senior class, like, they set a standard of how we go about our business, where that's going to carry through here moving forward and just continue to get passed down. Really proud of the group. Really proud of the group. There was probably another 5 to 10 guys who could, if their name popped up on the All Ivy, you wouldn't be surprised. And that's just this type of team we have. These guys work in the off season to get better and become better versions of themselves. Because of that, we can continue to improve as a team.
No doubt. And not surprisingly, the team MVP, which is the most prestigious, the Frederick Greeley Cocker Award to Jaden Craig, who, oh, by the way, became the all-time touchdown pass leader and then surpassed Neil Rose for the all-time in passing yardage. So really special career at Harvard that gets an opportunity to play again.
Yes. I'm excited to see what he's going to do in this next one. He's such a motivated young man. So you get him after a game like Saturday. I mean, he's he's ready to go. He's locked in. He's seen him in here watching a ton of tape. He went out and was throwing darts out of practice today. So I'm enjoying continuing to coach him because I know that's, you know, only a matter of time before I don't get to. So I'm enjoying just watching him in action out there in the practice field.
And two major awards to note for the players. We'll get to you in a minute. The Agnes Zimmern Award for the most outstanding player in New England, to Jaden Craig. He'll be receiving that award, New England Football Writers Dinner. And as also the Bulger Lowe Award, prestigious award for the Defensive Player of the Year, to Ty Bartram. It's great to see those two guys both acknowledged by the New England chapter of the Football Writers of America.
Yep, that's they've had great seasons, great careers, and every award that comes their way, they deserve just with the work they put in.
And the New England. I'm talking to New England Coach of the Year, Andy Orrick. Congratulations on that. That makes three.
Thank you.
In the Football Writers Dinner, and I was thrilled to see you being acknowledged on the announcement of that award. Congratulations to your coach for a job and job continuing on, but job well done, certainly.
Yeah, thank you. My dad let me know that that award is like one of the oldest awards in all football. I didn't know that. He was like, yeah.
Yes.
He's like, the only one older is the Heisman. I was like, oh, okay.
Yeah. It's a pretty good company, and also a finalist for the Eddie Robinson Award, too, so for the National Coach of the Year at the FCS level. So, honors to come, but football to come, and we're going to wrap it up here for everybody that in Crimson Nation. What about Villanova? They're coming in at 9-2, they're 7-1 in the CAA, and have been on a run since a loss at Penn State and a loss to Monmouth in CAA play. This team has worked a pretty impressive run since the first 2 weeks of the season.
Yeah, it starts. They have really good special teams. They have a punt returner who is dynamic. I would guess that he was probably first team all CAA over Scotty Woods, who's up at Maine, and we all know how good Scotty Woods was for us last year. He's got a special punt returner, and then they have a kick returner who is dynamic. You know, multiple kickoff returns for touchdowns. And, you know, Coach Williams, he had a great statement today. He was like, when you have a guy returning like that for you, like, you just work harder on your kickoff return unit to block because you know he's always got a chance to score. So, challenge is going to be getting the ball out of the end zone so he can't return it. And luckily we have Kieran, so hopefully he can take it out of his hands more times than not. And when he does take it out, we got to make sure that we're covering and you know, avoiding blocks when we should avoid blocks, hands on block and feet getting crowned when we're close enough to the ball and playing with violence on the kickoff team. So it starts there. Their special teams is really, really good. You know, defensively, somebody asked me, like, well, how do they compare? It's when you watch their offense, even special teams, their players out there, it's like top-level Ivy League players at every position. And, you know, Caleb Moody is there. So, you know, they're a familiar face. But they have three really good running backs, one of them being the kick returner I just mentioned. You know, the one running back who has been banged up the last couple of weeks, number 24, he I believe he was the finalist for the Jerry Rice Award Freshman of the Year last year in FCS. And he's big, he's fast, he can make people miss. And then they have these other two running backs that are really dynamic too. So, their O-line coach is a really good coach. I've talked ball with him a couple times. They challenge you with some, you know, schematic things they do and, you know, put you in positions where you got to make sure that your gap's sound and you're getting enough hats to the ball, with all the blockers and pullers they have and going that direction. So, I think it's going to be a challenge for our defense. Very different than what we saw this past week, schematically, you know. Yale was, you knew what they were doing, and it was who was going to execute a higher level and play with more violence. This team is more; they got a little more on their menu. They got a good quarterback. Their top receiver, Luke Kalela, is a grad transfer from Princeton. He was second team All Ivy last year, and he's Yeah, he's got like 50 catches for over 800 yards. You know, defensively, they have a finalist for the Buck Buchanan Award. Their middle linebacker, number 31, I forget his name. He's really active, and they got some twitched up, strong defensive linemen. You know, they move the front, they blitz. They're going to challenge you, your eye discipline up front for sure. And they got guys on the back end that can cover to allow them to play some man coverage. So, it's going to be a really good challenge for us. You know, we're one practice in and we had a great practice. So again, I know that the guys are really focused and excited for the opportunity, to head down there.
And, their coach, very much invested in Villanova football for almost four decades. Is he a guy that you've run into around the circuit with Mark Ferranti or someone that you really didn't know much about?
Yeah, I've met him a couple of times. Back in the day, I'd gone down to Villanova's practice a number of times. When Coach Devine was their O-line coach, he's still their O-line coach. You know, sat in on meetings with them and, you know, watch tape from practice, spring practice with them. So, definitely some familiarity, you know, with that program. And, you know, it's been one of consistency for a long time. Won a lot of games, you know, from Coach Talley to Coach Ferrante, they won a ton of games.
Yes, I remember Andy Talley very well from my previous life with Boston University football. So I've actually broadcast, I think, five, six games down there. The last one was in 1995. How about that?
Nice. I've watched a couple of games there, high school games when I was recruiting down in Philly. You know, I had a little pipeline of St. Joe's prep kids, and
And
I watched a couple of their games when they played there.
Mm-hmm. So some familiarity going down there to Villanova Stadium. That'll be the place high noon on Saturday at Villanova Stadium as the Crimson get ready for the first postseason game. We got to say first postseason game as we wrap up. Since the 1920 Rose Bowl, coach, and that was a 7-6 victory over Oregon.
Well, we got to get a streak going and win.
That's right. We got to extend. We've waited over 100 years to extend the streak. Well, I guess it's about time. Is the conclusion? I guess.
Exactly.
Right?
Exactly.
105 years later, only can we say it at Harvard, 105 years later, the Crimson will get a chance to play a postseason football game. And that is what we'll look forward to, really looking forward to. I know everybody in Crimson Nation. Saturday, high noon from Villanova Stadium. The Crimson, first ever meeting with the Wildcats. Coach, thanks very much. Appreciate you joining us here, special edition, playoff edition. And happy Thanksgiving to you and the family and it sounds like the extended family of Harvard football. You'll have a lot of the guys surrounding you and your family, and I think that'll make for a special memory for Thanksgiving.
Definitely. Yeah, happy Thanksgiving to you as well, and hopefully we can get a lot of people down there, Villanova, cheering us on. And then, Bernie, we got to have another one next week. Got to get the W so we can have another Inside Harvard Football next week.
Absolutely. This is where we get to the point. We want to keep it going. We want to keep the show going next week. Indeed.
Exactly.
Absolutely. Thank you, Coach. Really appreciate it.
Absolutely. Thanks, Brian.
Coach Andy Orrick, Inside Harvard Football, our playoff edition, our Villanova opening round playoff edition here this week on Inside Harvard Football, presented by the Harvard Coop, a Harvard tradition since 1882.